Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Right, well, we'll see if we can achieve fire enough for that kid on today's show. Glad to have you with us. Welcome to Friday. Happy weekend, everyone. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has been away all week. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is alongside. And we've got, I think, a fun show for you on a Friday afternoon. Heading for Sabres and Capitals tonight. That game faces off at 7. Pre-game rolls at 6. We'll get Paul Hamilton's thoughts on the news of the day. That includes Drake Caggiula being claimed off waivers from the Arizona Coyotes. As well as Arttu Ruotsalainen making his Sabres debut. We thought we were going to get that as early as this Tuesday and then maybe possibly last night, but we had to wait a few extra days, but we'll finally see him. And, you know, after all the buildup, he better be really good, right? I mean, I don't know. He's just a guy I want to get a look at is all. And it frustrated me for a couple of days here that the Sabres couldn't find their way to get him in the lineup, but they will tonight do that. So we'll get to Paul later on. Before then, between now and then, we'll get Matt Larkin from the Hockey News at 4 o'clock with his thoughts on trade deadline day creeping closer. It's Monday at 3 p.m. in the NHL. The Sabres are sitting on, I think, the most highly touted. I haven't looked at the TSN trade bait board, so I'm not sure where Taylor Hall ranks, but I mean, I don't think there's any other former MVPs that are likely to be moved on expiring contracts as the trade deadline approaches on Monday. The Sabres are holding the biggest chip. How big a chip it ends up being, well, we'll get Matt Larkin's thoughts on that. Sal Capaccio will join us as well at 5 o'clock, talk about some of what Joe just said in the update about the Falcons and the Washington football team plans with regard to quarterback and what a Josh Allen contract extension may end up meaning to both Allen and the Bills and the fans and their expectations. All that coming your way later on. And Brian Koziel, too, at 5:30 with an update on round 2 of the Masters. My team in the pick 10 / pick 7 is having a better day today. Right, Joe? You just said DeChambeau and DJ are like they're above the cut line. I don't know how comfortably, by a couple shots anyway, but they're no longer, you know, plus 6 or whatever they were yesterday.
Right, yeah, they're hanging around a little bit.
They're hanging around. So we'll see that Justin Rose cooled off a little
and
bit today.
Spieth. So Spieth with a good day.
Spieth had a good day. Justin Thomas has had a good day. He's one of my guys. So I'm alive and kicking, I think, as we head for the back half of Friday's round 2 and into the weekend round 2 on Saturday and the final round, of course, on Sunday. you know, speaking of the, and I want to, I'm going to maybe get into talking about the Masters and Augusta as a venue and like sports destinations and bucket lists that people may or may not have for sporting events at some point today on the show. But I want to at least begin on the trade deadline here to start, Joe. And I'm finding myself feeling some sympathy for Kevin Adams. Like I feel kind of bad for Kevin Adams because I think that while he is sitting on an asset that is, you know, I just said it a minute ago, he's a former MVP, Taylor Hall. You know, I'm not sure. I think Kevin Adams is going to have a hard time coming out of trading Taylor Hall looking good. And I think the most easily accessible response to that, like if I'm right about it, if Taylor Hall, I saw Pierre LeBrun wrote a big rundown. I mean, it's almost a daily occurrence now that the heavy hitters in hockey media take their shots at, like, you know, forecasting what's happening at the trade deadline. And Pierre LeBrun from TSN and The Athletic had a piece today, and I pulled a quote out of it this morning, where LeBrun had a current GM say he thinks if Hall is still around come Monday, like if he hasn't been moved by Monday, that the price could drop as low as a second or third round pick, as well as the Sabres taking salary back to make the money work. And I mean, if we get to that, and that's the kind of deal that Kevin Adams ends up making for Taylor Hall, I think there's going to be a lot of criticism. And I'm not here to tell you it's unwarranted. I do want to just sort of talk it out and make some observations that, you know, maybe the average fan goes this far thinking about it. Maybe they just see the return and will be mad about it. I don't know. But if you've been paying attention to this show for a few weeks now, ever since it became, you know, mostly apparent that the Sabres were probably going to trade Taylor Hall, and I guess that might have been around the time that Taylor Hall said, yeah, for sure, when asked if he would be interested in waiving his no-move clause to go to a team at the trade deadline, we started sort of feeling like, okay, so the idea of Taylor Hall signing a contract extension to stay with the Sabres is probably been put to bed, and now we just better get, you know, make friends with the idea that they're going to trade him. And so what is that going to look like? And you know, we've talked a lot about how the return on those type of players, rental players at the deadline, has been decreasing over the years, that teams are getting smarter about asset management, and that, you know, a few weeks worth of, even, you know, idealistically, you'd hope for some kind of bump for your team's performance from the acquisition that you make, it often doesn't end up being really worth the price. It just does not move the needle enough to give up a premium asset like a first-round pick. And furthermore, this year things are complicated by the cap being flat from last year into this year, and the uncertainty moving forward about, like, when exactly can you expect the NHL salary cap to start increasing again? I mean, they just went through here. Well, they're not done yet, but they will have gone through a second season. I guess last year wasn't really a full season. I mean, they came back, they returned to play basically with playoffs, but no revenue from fan attendance last summer. This year, very minimal revenue from fan attendance. You know, I mean, not just in Buffalo. I mean, no buildings are full capacity. You're talking about maybe a max of 20%, I think, as far as attendance goes, even in the most, the most lax markets as far as restrictions go due to the pandemic. So teams are going to value those first-round picks, because first-round picks don't have salaries, and when they do have salaries, they're controlled. They're you know, entry level contracts. So I think the financial landscape in the league might tell you even more that teams are going to be unwilling to part with high picks. You want another thing that I think is working against Kevin Adams It's our guest from last Friday, Greg Wyshynski, fine hockey writer with ESPN.com, talking to, again, a couple of different general managers active in the league about how, you know, going for it this year and even making the playoffs and making a run is going to cost your team more money. Now, I don't think any team is going to, at the trade deadline, at a news conference explaining why they didn't trade for Taylor Hall, say, well, we didn't want to try too hard because we don't want to win the cup. Like, nobody's going to say that publicly. But they did tell Greg Wyshynski that the reality is you are faced with spending more money. You're not going to make money. There's no reward. You get your fans will be happy, and maybe they'll be happier when they come back to your building. It eventually, in the long game, will be good for business, obviously, to have a good team and go on a playoff run and even win the cup. I mean, need it be said. But the financial reality makes that equation, I think, a little less obvious to me that you would want to extend yourself, give up an asset, a premium asset, just so that you can sign up for losing more money. I mean, I know nobody would want to think that competitive sports would work this way, but the fact that people were quoted in that story last week at ESPN.com indicates to me that it's at least possible that some team's ownership would be sitting with their general manager going, I don't want to, A, pay Taylor Hall, I don't want to give up assets to get Taylor Hall or move assets around so we can create room for Taylor Hall, just so that I can, you know, if it goes well, which there's absolutely no guarantee that it will, but if it does, all I'm going to have to do is write more checks to cover more losses because we're still playing in June. Like, that's not, I know that sounds cloak and daggery and stuff, but to me, that's a real possibility in this league more than maybe any other pro sports league in North America. So all of that stacked up, and now you've got Kevin Adams, rookie general manager, and he's trying to make the best deal he can for Taylor Hall. I mean, I don't know. Thoughts and prayers, Kevin. I just think that's a lot working against you, potentially. Again, you know, the thing about teams not wanting to spend the money to be successful in the playoffs is speculative, I admit, but it could be something that makes Kevin Adams' ability to max out the return on a Taylor Hall trade more difficult. And for that reason, I find myself feeling like I'm bracing for him to get clobbered. And I'm not telling you, I might not be one of the people clobbering him, but that's how it works. But like, sitting here today, I think he's in tough. I think he's in tough trying to make a deal that will get respect from fans, because I just don't know if the return is going to be there. You know, what are things we don't get to know? Well, we don't get to know how far down the road Kevin Adams may have gotten with Lou Lamoriello and the New York Islanders before they bailed out of the Taylor Hall idea, at least for the time being. There is some scuttlebutt that the Islanders and Lamoriello could circle back to the Sabres after having made the move they made a couple days ago to get Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils. But either way, what we don't know is what Kevin Adams turned down from Lou Lamoriello, if he even did. If there was a firm offer and he didn't like it and thought he could do better, and Lamoriello went and alternatively made this other deal, gave up a first-round pick in the process, and now Kevin Adams is left with one other potential landing spot. Again, perhaps, it's, you know, I don't want to completely rule out the Islanders, but they've already given up a first-round pick, so I think if they circle back and make a deal for Taylor Hall, the Islanders, with the Sabres, it's going to be because the asking price has come down, and Adams is not finding the first-round pick that he wants from any other potential suitors. You know, Boston, I guess, is one team that's been mentioned. I'm sure there are others. I don't have the list ready to read off to you. But I think he's in tough. I think he's in a tough spot. He has an obvious lack of experience in doing this. He has, as I've said again and again and again for weeks, a very obvious lack of support internally as far as ears and minds to bounce things off of that have been through this and know how to navigate the waters of trade deadline day in the NHL. So I just think you add that all up, and I think it will be a real pleasant surprise if we look at, and, you know, again, I'm using a collective we here. If the majority of fans go, all right, yeah, hey, that was a good job. Great. Really, I like this prospect you got. Or, you know, it's a first-round pick. Hey, at least it's that. I just think that's going to be tough for Adams to manage between now and 3 o'clock on Monday. And for that reason, I feel kind of bad because, like, a lot of that, I mean, his inexperience is obviously his own making. I mean, he's in the job. He took the job. He knew what the job entailed. But I don't know how much, really, the lack of internal support, extra eyes and ears and experience. I mean, I don't think that's Kevin Adams' fault. I'll bet he'd like to have a staff of people that have been through the ups and downs and twists and turns of all the things that being a GM of the Buffalo Sabres entails. But he really does not have that, and I don't think that's his fault. And, you know, a lot of the other factors that I just listed off obviously also are not within his control. There's nothing he could do about the financial realities of the season, of the pandemic, of teams not wanting to part with assets because of that. It's just it's a tough market. It's a long way to go to say it's a tough market. And I have a healthy respect sitting here today for the spot that I believe Adams is in, because again, we don't get to know what deals he didn't make, what he turned down from the Islanders, if it was anything. But I think what will likely happen is if we are collectively underwhelmed by the return on a Taylor Hall trade, Kevin Adams is going to get it in the teeth. That's just how it goes. It's going to be, you know, again, shoestring budget Sabres. And that's, you know, legitimate criticism, I think. Inexperienced GM. And look what happened. And I'm not positive that will be entirely accurate, again, because of all the other factors that I've laid out. So I'm bracing. And if you've been paying attention when we've talked about this very subject, that has been a word I think I've used pretty frequently. I'm bracing to be let down. I will be pleasantly surprised if we are able to sort of fold our arms and raise our eyebrows and go, oh, all right. When the Taylor Hall trade happens, that's where I'm at starting in to the weekend. Don't know, like I don't want to pretend like I have the sense that anything is imminent. I do know that Don Granato, and we will get to this audio just about 3 hours from now, so it's a ways off. But once we get to pregame, we'll hear Don Granato. I do know that as part of his meeting with the media this morning, Granato said something to the effect of, you know, for now, it's the same structure of the lineup. Again, the Roots alignment switch for Stephen Fogarty is a change, but Matterwin will play, like Joe said in the update at the top of the hour, so 11-7, but it was with a, you know, for now, like as of now, that's what we're planning on doing. And that sort of implies that, you know, something could be happening. Something could be changing. If you're thinking that means Drake Caggiula, you can rule that out. He's flying here commercially, and he will need some time apart from the Sabres team until he's cleared to join them. I don't know how long that will be, but and what sort of testing is involved. I don't think it'll be a super lengthy, but it might be 7 days, as much as 7 days, for him to establish that he's fine coming from the Arizona Coyotes to the Buffalo Sabres. So that's not the uncertainty about the lineup. I think that's something to do with potential trades. So, you know, we're here, we're paying attention. So if anything does break, we'll have it. So if you got a thought on the deadline approaching and anything I just laid out for you regarding Kevin Adams and the spot he's in with the deadline looming, by the time we start our show on Monday, the deadline will have passed. And I'm sure at probably 3:05, either Mike, who will be back, or myself will say something along the lines of, well, it doesn't have to be over, you know, the fax machine, blah, 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 or whatever. I know, fax machine, what a dated reference. Joe, have you ever used a fax machine even in your adult life?
I actually used one at work maybe for the first time like a month ago.
Okay.
So, right. Yes, I have used one.
All right. But it's not a common occurrence, right? I don't know who it is for. Anyway, it's an old hackneyed joke. Anyway, the deadline's at 3. What do you think about what I just laid out as it pertains to Adams and the market for Hall and, I'm sort of laying down excuses for Adams. I guess a critic could take it that way, but I think that's the reality. I'm trying to be honest and fair about looking at the situation. And I think he's in tough.
I think he might have the excuse. I think if he doesn't get a first round pick for Taylor Hall at the deadline, if he gets a second and a prospect, or even like what was said earlier today, a third maybe, as low as that, I think he'll have in his back pocket, like, hey, Taylor Hall's got 2 goals this season. And it's going to be tough to get a first-round pick for a guy that has that production. Now, I think there are smarter teams out there that should know that he's worth more than that. But if there are enough teams that are buyers that will just look at the goal total and be like, we're not giving you a first-round pick for a guy that has 2 goals this season, then that could really hamper the market. So I think everything you said is right in that they have a GM with no experience in the job. They have no hockey department around him, really, and they are working on a budget. But at the same time, I do think they have the built-in excuse of this guy has not played well this season, and that's why we're not getting the first.
You know, I like you referenced something that I was thinking about here, and we'll get to calls here pretty quick at 803-0550 before we get to the first break of the show. But you mentioned if teams are smart about looking at Hall and his shooting percentage and expected goals and his performance, right? There are certain measurables that I think people will still use to tell you Hall has been really a victim of some terrible circumstances, and just some bad shooting luck. And look, I'm not here to fight against that. What I think is interesting is if the Sabres were to try to use that, I know he, we know he only has 2 goals, but Kevin Anderson, did you look at his expected goals? Do you look at all these different analytic numbers that are somewhat favorable for Taylor Hall? If the guy on the other end of the phone doesn't go, yeah, if you're so interested in those that sort of data, why are you playing Cody Eakin every night? how does that work? Can you lean on the analytics as a strength and front? That's a reason you should pay me more for this asset when you are employing guys who are provably by the same measurables amongst the worst players in the league this year. I think that's a funny little twist there. I have no idea if that sort of thing. I mean, teams probably just, that's all baked in. A team trading for Taylor Hall would have done, I would think, that work in this era. There's no secrets. They know what Taylor Hall is. They probably don't need Kevin Adams to tell them about his expected goals or high danger chances or any of that. They would know all that. But just a funny little thing I thought of just thinking about that little facet of it. 803-0550 is the number. Let's get to the phones. Jeff is first up this segment. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR. Thank you for calling, sir.
Hey, Bulldog. I think that with this scenario for Taylor Hall, I think that Kevin Adams might have to show how creative he can be, because it may require a third team in a three-way trade, because I think you'll find teams that want Hall, and I think you'll find teams that can pay Hall what we want, but maybe not the same team. What do you think the likelihood is of something like that happening is?
I think depending on who you trade with, I think Toronto is a perfect example of this. And I watched a segment, again, referencing the TSN guys from an intermission last night with Pierre LeBrun, Frank Saravelli, and Darren Drager. And I can't remember which one of them it was. Use Toronto as an example of a team that could use a third party like Chicago. Chicago already did this. They just took on money from Florida, they have cap space. So that there could be a team like that Toronto could utilize to open up cap space for themselves and then make the trade. Just how involved the Sabres have to be in that process, I don't know. But I think if you want to trade Taylor Hall to a contender, the chances of a contender outside of the Florida Panthers, who are a contender, I know that might sound weird, but they've been right at the top most of the year. They usually don't have the cap space to fit in even half of Taylor Hall's $8 million salary. So you're probably going to have to find somewhere for a team you're dealing with, if you're the Sabres, to park some money. I think that's favorable for the Sabres in that you don't want to be the recipient of that money. You know what I mean? That's why the little bit that I tweeted this morning, Jeff, from LeBron, from this nameless GM, who said the price by Monday, if Hall is hanging around, could drop to a second or a third and a salary coming back. It wasn't a prospect coming back. It wasn't somebody that you'd be happy to have. It would be the equivalent of a dump because we're taking Hall, so you got to take this so that we can make it work. And, I mean, that to me is just a disastrous return. And, you know, we'll see. It doesn't have to come to that. I like the third-party option more. Although for this year, I don't know how much it matters. I guess I would rather have cap room available if the Sabres can avail themselves of any kind of a trade for someone that might help them beyond this year. You know, I'm thinking about the goalie point, with the Columbus guys, for instance, the two Columbus goalies. Like, if you wanted to do that, I think you would need your own cap room. You can't be taking on junk just to make the Taylor Hall trade.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it very much. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. We're starting on the trade deadline, looming on Monday afternoon. We'll get to some other items as well. Matt Larkin from the Hockey News at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5, Brian Colziel, Paul Hamilton. It's like the Tonight Show over here with the guests. I mean, we're just rolling through them here. Do we have a musical guest, Joe? No, we never have musical guests, but very rarely. I don't know. I did once on the morning show, I think. Anyway, we'll keep talking about Taylor Hall, get to Linus Ullmark, too, and what the Sabres are going to do or intend to do with their number one goalie, who's also set to become an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Mike Schoep is away on vacation. I've got Sneaky Joe DiBiase along with me. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think the only way that Toronto would have interest in Taylor Hall is if on Monday the market has just eroded on Taylor Hall and Kevin is scrambling and Toronto goes, okay, he's not the right fit for what the Toronto Maple Leafs are looking for, at least in their mind. I mean, we can debate whether that's true or not.
That is Darren Drager from this morning with the guys on the Instigators. They'll be going long on Monday, right? I just heard Maddie Glab say that One Bills Live is off on Monday, and for an instant, I went like, wait, why? What? Last Monday was the Easter holiday weekend, so I understood that, but then I remembered, oh, yeah, trade deadline. So the instigators are going like 10 to 3, and then Mike and I will be on to sort of review what has happened and, survey. You know what struck me? Glad to have you with us, by the way. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is away and has been away this week, but he'll be back on Monday. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along for the ride as well. Phone lines are open if you want to get in, talk about the Sabres and Kevin Adams and the trade deadline, Taylor Hall, Brandon Montour, Linus Ullmark. I don't know. Anybody else you want to add to the list? 803-0550 is the phone number. Coverage of the NHL trade deadline, by the way, here on WGR is brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. By Jim's Steakout. Don't lace up for good food. Get it delivered at jimsteakout.com. And by Firth Jewelers. Go forth to Firth. Something that comes along with having a now decade-long, 10-year-long playoff drought is that this time of the year and the deadline itself, it has been 10 years since the Sabres were in a position to make an addition at trade deadline time. We have just been going through this sell-off mode really every year since then. I do not have a spreadsheet put together of all the deals the Sabres have made in the 10 years since the trade deadline of 2011. But that's the last time they made the playoffs, and I don't even know. I guess they were probably close one other year, so I should look. The year after, they made a run late and even were in a playoff spot very late in the season and then couldn't hold on to it and lost it. So it's possible they did something in 2012 besides just sell off free agents to be. But Brad Boyce was acquired by the Sabres at the deadline, or right around. It was February 28th of 2011. I just looked it up to bolster their chances. And we all know how that went. We've talked about how he scored, I think, real early with the Sabres, maybe in his first couple of games. And then there was nothing until very late in that blowout loss in Game 7 in Philadelphia in the 2011 first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's a very frustrating memory for fans. Boys ended up staying here all of the next year. He didn't get dealt at the following deadline, even though his contract was expiring. When he was traded for, he had an extra year on the contract. But, like, I'm feeling like, without now looking at the other more recent deadlines, it has been 10 years since we were in a position to talk about the Sabres adding parts at the trade deadline instead of selling.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, 2012, the fact that Boyce stayed on the team.
No,
he left as a free agent. They didn't maybe sell everything they could have sold in 2012 because they were alive. They were in a race. But they weren't in a playoff spot at the deadline that year, and they haven't been in a playoff spot at the deadline in forever.
They did make one seller's move that deadline. They traded. That's the year Gostad goes to Nashville for a first round pick. But the other deal they made that day, I guess this isn't a buyer or a seller's move. The same deal that day was Hodgson for Cassian.
Oh, Cassian, right.
So okay. I guess they were leaning towards sellers then. But right, if you were going all the way in on that, you trade unrestricted free agent Brad Boyce. Even if it's for a fifth, like you trade him for whatever you get.
Right. So, all I'm saying is it hasn't been, it's more like it's 9 of these in a row, not 10, where they haven't added. Because 12 is sort of, they waffled, they middled it, right? They unloaded one guy because the price was so great. I mean, I might argue, regardless of whether you were in first place overall, if someone wants to give you a first-round pick for Paul Gostad, maybe you have to do that 100 times out of 100. But the point is that it has been, it's another way of measuring the frustration of the drought, Joe, that we've not been in a position to even argue about whether or not I want the Sabres to give up a first-round pick for Taylor Hall or that player, right. You know what I mean? It's been just so long that you haven't even been, again, since 2012 even, in a position to even really argue about it. It's just been obvious every year since then that the move is, if that guy's not in the future plans, goodbye. Just send him on his way. And, I mean, that's a horrible existence.
What?
Like, the idea of talking about guys to add is fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we've made the best we can of it, talking about dumping guys and what you can get back. But, like, we're at a point now where I think you would need multiple credible hockey people to tell you the piece, the prospect they got. Like, no, that's really good. It's just been sell, and, like, I don't know what you have to show for it. I mean, they've accumulated picks. They've used picks. They're not all terrible or anything. It's just you've not been in any kind of position to do anything but dump for 10 years, and that is stark.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in a pretty good mood for a few days about them. And, you know, they lost last night, and that's not why I'm working myself into a bad mood. It's more this, like the deadline coming and thinking about just how long it's been since you were in a position to try to help your team make the playoffs. Not even, again, be a real contender. Just, hey, you know what? They're in a race. We deserve to go add a guy. We deserve to hang on to assets. Like, it just has not happened. And in a league where, just there's so much parity, that is brutal.
That includes a year, by the way, where they were first place in November and they couldn't get to the point where they were in a race at the deadline.
Right.
I wonder, the year they had 82 points, That wasn't even a debate that year. I'm looking at their trade history, and I don't see anything at that deadline. Mike Weber to Washington for a third, so I guess there was one move. But, like, they weren't – I guess that's right. Like, they weren't even in a race then. But I do remember there's an afternoon game at some point in maybe February or March. Maybe it was March where they beat Chicago in the afternoon.
Of what year are we talking about?
This is the 15-16 year where they have 82 okay. points, 81 points.
Okay. Oh, the strong second half with Bilesma that year.
Yeah, okay. That year. That's the year I'm trying to remember. Like, was that even a debate then? Because they didn't buy. But
I don't think so. I don't think they were ever close enough, Joe. I really don't. I mean, there's probably a way you could go back, like, day by day through the standings or something. But I don't. They went hard to the wire that year. And, like, there was, I remember Paul, I don't know if Paul will remember this the same way, but I remember Paul, like, writing and saying, like, they're playing the way they've been playing over the second half of the season. They're on, like, a 96-point pace for the season or something, which would be, you know, a playoff contention, maybe even solidly in the playoffs type of number. But it was, again, just the back half of the season, and I don't think they ever got close enough to have a legitimate, like, argument made, hey, they should go buy this or this or this. I don't think it happened that way. I mean, that was already a team that over the course of the preceding, I don't know, 6 months or so had, well, obviously they drafted Eichel. Reinhardt's now on the team. Ryan O'Reilly was traded for at that Eichel draft, and Evander Kane was traded for the previous winter and never played until that. Like, so they'd already, like, loaded the team up. I don't know how what sort of even room they would have had to add a significant piece if there was one available. But I don't recall there being any kind of a thrust from fans or from us internally on the show to, like, go add something. This team deserves some help. It was more like, all right, well, it took them half the year to figure out how to play for Dan Bylsma, and, you know, hopefully you can hit the ground running here coming out to start the 16-17 season. And, of course, that didn't happen. They were worse, and by trade deadline time or even before that of that year, I was saying, fire Bylsma, start over. This is not working. It just is not working. And they didn't, and they just sort of spun out to the end, and then eventually Bylsma and Tim Murray got fired very, very quickly in the offseason. So it's been, long. It's been that long, and that just stinks.
And I am also not counting that they did technically buy Wayne Simmons at the deadline last year, but I don't really want to count that, the fifth-round pick for him. So, but you're right, 10 years since, like, there's been a real conversation about it.
Right, right. So, yeah, another brutal way to look at it. I'm going to bring up Montour here, too. Obviously, Taylor Hall is the focus, and I don't think Montour is going to generate, any kind of a significant return. If they even move him, I would expect that they will. But he's someone who we have not really talked about much. You know, we spent a few hours this week, Joe, talking about Dahlin and Mittelstad and even, I guess, a little bit of Tage Thompson. Montour is another guy that I think he's not someone, I guess if I evaluated myself and my reasons for this, it would just, I'm sort of divorcing myself from Brandon Montour because I'm expecting him to be traded. So I've got a bit of a blind spot probably, but he's been more noticeable in these games too. Like, he's another guy that can really skate. Like, skating is absolutely his strongest asset, his skating. And he is, you know, it's not just the two shorthanded goals in the Philly game that ended the 18-game losing streak. He's just more noticeable because he's up in the play more often, and he's got the skating ability to move around the ice like that. And I think he's another guy that either was flat out told not to or restricted or just didn't feel confident in doing it in the Kruger system. And, like, Montour, I mean, his contract's up. I don't need him to stay at all, and I don't expect him to because I think they will trade him. But he's looked better playing under Don Granato than he did at any other point in his Sabres career. Am I right?
No, I think you're right. I think I would just want to attribute that to there's less restraint on these defensemen to be jumping up in the play. I think that's why Dahlin's playing a lot better. I'm seeing Joki Haru fly into the corners in the offensive zone.
Yeah, last night the first goal is him, right, him below the goal line making a great pass.
Right, like, and that's not something we ever saw under Kruger. And really, when you look at it, how much of isn't almost all of Montour's Sabre career under Ralph Kruger? He gets here at the end of... Now I'm mixing up all the timelines. But anyways, I mean,
yeah,
you're right. Like, skating is his number one asset. This is the type of system that's better suited for him. And I don't think they're going to get much for him at the deadline, but I would not be surprised if he's going to be one of those guys where we're watching the playoffs and he makes big plays for some team and we're like, well, we couldn't make that work here either, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be bracing for that. I mean, I don't think he's going to go win the MVP for the playoffs or anything. But I think there are positive signs in his game here. And the skating is what it is and being freed up. And I just, you know, sometimes you can't see what's right in front of you, you know, and until you see the alternative, you know. And, man, I'd love to have seen – this team with a healthy Jack Eichel playing the style they're playing now. And I wonder how we'd feel about a lot of these guys. I tweeted last night, like, if Montour had been allowed to play this way, I wonder if we'd be clamoring for them to sign him to a contract extension. Right. You know, instead we're in this horrible last place, bottom dwelling existence. And it's, you know, sell everything that's not nailed down. And I'm not advocating for different. I don't, by saying all this, I'm not suggesting they should keep Brandon Montour, but I think we'd feel a lot differently about him if he'd been allowed, maybe, and encouraged to use, well, his strongest asset, which, again, is his skating. We knew that when he was acquired. You knew that if you watched him play in Anaheim or even in college, that he is a player that can move freely up and down the ice and get back to defend if he gets caught up ice because he's that good a skater. So that's been standing out, and it's just a point, I guess, worth making before he gets on a plane and goes to play in the playoffs, presumably. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Mike is away on vacation. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Matt Larkin from the Hockey News chimes in at 4 right here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
There's no question he's playing with more confidence, and we're seeing more of his, you know, skill as a result. And the first goal was beautiful play. The patience to wait, presence to make a play through the stick, you know, layer by layer. I think it was Okoso went to the net, drew one layer of coverage away from the next layer, which was Victor coming in. So there was a lot of that goal that goes to, you know, what you had mentioned about Jokic. A lot of real positive things.
That is Sabres interim head coach Don Granato talking about Henri Jokiharju. We just talked about him in the last segment. Joe mentioned how he, you know, watched the game. You saw it, the first goal of the game, very, very early in the game. Down in the offensive zone in the corner, below the goal line, makes a pass out to Olofsson, 1-0. The Sabres would fall behind by 3-1, but battle back to make it a tie game on a great play by, again, go figure, Rasmus Dahlin to Sam Reinhart, and Skinner ends up potting the rebound to tie the game, and then they had a terrible third period. It was just a brutal third period. Did they have one shot until they pulled the goalie? And that's what Paul said. They ended up with two shots in the third period. Tie game, you know, at least to start, and generated two shots the entire time, one of which came with the goalie pulled. So pretty late in the period. That was tough. That was tough. It's not all sunshine here for the Sabres with the way that third period went. But again, like I said, after Tuesday's game in New Jersey, the result is not the reason I was, you know, feeling good about the game. They could have lost that game, and I still would have been really happy about what Dahlin did in the game and what Mittelstadt did in the game. And I think we'll say the same thing about those two plays from Dahlin and Jokiharju. Obviously they've got some stuff to clean up. They were pretty sloppy in their own end. And, you know, again, only generated two shots in a third period that they entered in a tie hockey game. I'll tell you what, Joe, I'm liking this Masters leaderboard more and more every time I open it.
It's looking Justin Thomas has got to be the biggest reason though. 67 today he finished at. Spieth though too. I actually didn't even just update it. He's at five under.
Spieth is two back. Thomas is three back.
And Rose not doing anything more than even today. Like me and Brian were talking about that off air yesterday. Like these other guys could shoot up, but if Rose keeps this pace, it won't matter.
Right.
But and him being even puts everyone back in the window.
Yeah, so I feel much better at this time today than I did yesterday. Go figure. It's a golf tournament, and lots of guys have lots of golf left to play, so you can't assume you're buried. But I've got a couple of guys there that are live that are really two of the favorites, Spieth and Thomas, anyway, are definitely within striking distance. If not, DeChambeau at one under, like you said, just six back going into the weekend. All right. We will we'll keep an eye on that. We'll get an update from Brian Koziel on that much later, 5:30. Before then, Sal Capaccio will be on at 5. But straight ahead, Matt Larkin from the Hockey News looking at the lay of the land heading for Monday's NHL trade deadline. That is straight ahead. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.